I thought I was taller, but I'm not. Yeah, I need to. Yeah, so I'm Hannah. For those of you that maybe don't know me yet, it has been a while since I've actually done this, a couple of years actually. So give me grace. And I had 3 hours of sleep thanks to my children. But we actually were praying this morning and we were mentioning how sometimes lack of sleep actually allows the Lord to use you more because your natural inhibitors are gone. So we'll see what happens. So actually, Leo is joining us. It's actually 12:30 midnight hours for him in Hong Kong. So I don't know if he's fully with us, but he is with us, which is really exciting. So some exciting news that Chuck wanted me to share. For those of you that don't know, we came back from Hong Kong. As I've been overseas as a missionary since 2009 in different countries, but 4 years in Hong Kong. Leo's been in Hong Kong for 7 years. And now this year, we are making the transition to come back to Canada for a little while for a lot of reasons. But it was really exciting to hear that word from Diane. Thank you so much, because it is true. Sometimes you come back and re-entering is a bit of a weird transition, but to remember that is still our calling to bring the gospel of Jesus wherever we are is really beautiful. And so Leo has been back in Hong Kong settling our affairs because we actually didn't know we were going to stay when we came back for a visit. So he went back. He's been there for 7 weeks now, and I've been staying with my parents with my 2-year-old and a 7-month-old or an 8-month-old now. So it's been challenging. My parents have been such a blessing. I think I would have died without them. Oh, God is so faithful that we are here in this time with two little babies, but it's been tough without Leo. But we have heard news. He's been waiting on an immigration matter. And last week we heard that he's been accepted and approved for his permanent residency status in Hong Kong. So he can now come back as planned next Thursday. So it'll be almost 9 weeks that he's been gone, but he'll be back, I can say now, next week, which is so exciting. Yeah, my daughter, she's 2.5. She's been asking about daddy, of course, every day. So I can finally tell her next week, it's very soon. And she's really excited. So that's exciting. That's one praise report. So Leo is going to be home for sure next Thursday evening. So be praying for his flight and his arrival back into Canada, just with immigration there and with whatever COVID stuff. I think most of the rules are gone now, but never know. So just, yeah, be praying for him and us in our last week and a half of absence of daddy. And another praise report was we actually have now got a house. We're renting a place. We got approved, which is a miracle, for a place that I've been looking at for a month and didn't think that it would be ever possible to get it. It's the best price on the market for the best amount of space, the best location, just such a miracle. And so I signed that on Friday. We just signed the lease. So that's a huge, huge blessing. And we're going to be moving in next week. So thank you, Jesus. We don't have to. My parents have been so great, but we've been with them for 6 months. Well, it just can be a bit crazy in there, but it's good. They've been so patient and so gracious. So thank you, Dad and Mom, wherever you are at home with the kids. Thank you, Mom. Another praise report for those of you who've been following. So as I said, I've been gone overseas since 2009, which is coming up on 14 years. And during that whole time, I've not had a doctor, like, because I've just been traveling and I've never had coverage wherever I am. And it's not been like I've been healthy these whole 13 years. It's been hard. And it's, you know, there's a journey of trust that you go on, but almost never gets easier. There's still moments where I'm like, I can't just call a doctor to see what's wrong with me. I have to either go to emergency with my 2 kids or blah, blah, blah. It's a lot to think about and a lot. But last week I was approved back at my old doctor from when I was a kid. They reaccepted me as a patient, which I know is really hard to have in Canada, even to have a doctor as well. So I'm so thankful. This week, I've just been like, wow, this burden is like gone. I can call a doctor if I need to for my kids and myself. Like, we've had so many issues. I've had a lot of postpartum and pregnancy issues, and it's just, I'm so thankful. So there's been so many things this last couple of weeks that God is just putting in place and reminding me that this is the right decision, even if it's hard or scary. But so thankful. God is so good. So thank you guys for your prayers. Seriously, like, God is moving and he's doing miracles even just in my personal life. So thank you guys for standing with us in this time. And there's many more miracles that we've seen in the past couple of weeks, but that's just a few. Okay, so this morning is a time that I'm going to attempt to speak or share or teach or preach or whatever the Lord calls me to do. Normally, I am more of a teacher. I am not a preacher by trade. I have slides. Actually, I have slides enough to teach for 3 weeks straight. I have done this before in YWAM. We do like 3 hours each day for a week. I've got 3 or 4 of those weeks. So altogether, probably 60 hours of slides. But I will not throw those all at you today. But I have got a few slides. So, but first, I'm actually going to play a little video. This video, disclaimer, is really outrageous and a little bit ridiculous, but it's to make a point that I'll explain later. We're going to be talking about praise and worship this morning. So this video, just don't take it seriously. It is not meant to be serious. Okay, disclaimer. Now you know. And as I said, that is very ridiculous. But actually, yeah, the point of this video is for one, to get everyone laughing, because I find that people learn way better if they're laughing. Laughing is the key. But secondly, this video is just talking about how it looks or how do you use your body in worship, albeit ridiculously. But a big point of what I wanted to share this morning actually is about how to use your bodies in worship. Although this morning we may not get to the how yet, but the why is what I want to cover. This is probably preaching to the choir, but I did feel like the Lord, because West Ottawa is usually pretty known for being a little bit crazy during worship, but which is a good thing. But I just felt the Lord wanting to remind us all, because it can be so easy to come in to a service on Sunday morning and maybe forgot our cup of coffee, or we've had, in my case, screaming kids, you know, for 2 or 3 hours already by the time the service starts. Or maybe you're tired and had only 3 hours of sleep, also my case. Or you had a rough week at work. You know the drill. We always have struggles. And when we come to a Sunday morning service, often our emotions can be the leader in how we engage in worship. Oh, we can start. Oh yeah, we've got the slide. Let's see. I haven't practiced this. It's working. Okay. I took that photo by. That's in East Timor. It's beautiful. So I'm going to talk about praise and worship and wholly engaging and experiencing the presence of God. So as I was just saying, a lot of times, even myself, a worship leader, comes into the service, and it can be very tempting and easy to be led by emotions in probably a lot of cases in our life, not just Sunday morning. But a service can look like a bunch of disengaged people, which is not what we're intending or how we want it to be. It just can be that way if we are specifically led by our emotions. Something I wanted to talk about this morning a little bit scientifically is how our emotions and muscles are actually so intertwined and connected. And the Bible actually talks a lot about this, and God created us this way. We all know this, body, mind, spirit, right? We're all three parts, just like the Trinity is, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The tabernacle was the outer, inner, and the Holy of Holies. Like there's all these connected and interwoven sections, I guess, of people and things, but they're all intertwined so deeply and so beautifully that we don't even sometimes know where one begins and the other one ends. But when it comes to worship and praise, and this is not just a music time on a Sunday morning, this can be any worship and praise moment you're having, either it's in the car or you're having your lunch hour and you're listening to some music in your ear, or it doesn't have to be music. When you're washing the dishes and you're having a conversation with the Lord, we can and should engage our bodies because it actually enables us to have a whole and more fulfilling and impacting worship experience, or experiencing the presence of the Lord more fully. And when it comes to a Sunday morning service or any worship time, a tool that I want to teach you guys, you might already know this, you probably do, but we can actually use our bodies as an entrance and a gateway into the presence of God and experiencing our spirit-to-spirit communion. I like to say praise is entrance and worship is communion. And that's the same with our bodies. Our bodies are entrance and our spirits are communion. And our minds and soul kind of follow along. But our minds and soul and emotions can sometimes get stuck at the front and become the entrance. And then our experience with worship, it falls flat, or it doesn't get anywhere. You just kind of feel like you had 30 minutes of a normal day almost, like you just sang a couple songs and that was it, but there was no connection or communion. And that maybe it's not your fault. It's not you just saying, I don't want to worship God today. I'm coming to church, but why? I don't want to be here. No, that's not the case most of the time. most of the time we're wanting to come to church and we want to have an experience with God, but we don't necessarily know how. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. That we often talk about communicating non-verbally, you know, non-verbal communication with your body, how other people can understand what you're thinking and feeling because they see your body movements. And also we hear all the time, like, if you're happy, you're going to act happy, right? If we're happy, I'm going to be smiling. If I'm angry, I'll probably not have a smile on my face. But physiologically and psychologically, there has been research, scientifically, this is actually truth, that our bodies can also work the other way around, where our body smiles and joy comes. They have tested this on so many subjects where this is a really weird one, but they had subjects like smile because they had a pen in their teeth and they were smiling, I think, and they were watching a cartoon. And then they had another group that were with the pen in between their lips and they were frowning or doing a frowning face. And they actually, the ones that had the smile, even though it was forced and it was not natural, they actually enjoyed the cartoons more than those that were frowning while watching. Isn't that weird? Yeah. And then they've also talked about, there's this lady named Amy Cuddy. She's a researcher on body language and things like this. And she has a whole research and TED Talks and all these things on the power pose and how you can actually, if you're feeling nervous and scared going into an interview, but you strike up a power pose, however that looks, it's an open and like big pose basically is what it is. So you're standing in the bathroom before your interview and you stand like this for 2 minutes. She says that that's all it takes is 2 minutes. Your testosterone and cortisone levels actually rise. And then the interview is actually performed better because your body has kind of come into alignment with what, or your emotions and feelings have come into alignment with how your body is commanding it or telling it to be. This may be new, this might be old, but I think it's so fascinating to learn about this and how God created us that way, actually. Like, you know how many commands in the scripture are physical? So many. I was going to say freaking, but I don't know if I should say freaking. But so many commands are physical. Bow, kneel, raise your hands, sing, dance, laugh. Like, there's just all these commands are physical. I think that's because there is a secret key that's not really that secret because it's pretty predominant throughout the Word of God. But if our bodies can actually create a pathway that our minds and souls and emotions and spirit can follow and enter into. And I believe that is, you know, you hear the thing, fake it till you make it. And sometimes we can look at that and be like, oh, like this video, like they're obviously faking it. You know, they're going way overboard. But maybe the reason why that's happening is because they're trying to actually get themselves into that place, get themselves engaged, like a prophetic statement where you're like, I'm going to dance even though I don't feel like dancing. And then you get into this moment where you realize, holy, I am dancing because you are so, like, I love you. And everything follows. So I want to bring this challenge this morning to us as West Ottawa of how do we engage in worship physically and why do we do what we do? Is there maybe something blocking it if we don't? In YWAM, with a missions organization I've been a part of for many, many years, they're always usually young adults, 18 to 30 years old, that I'm teaching. And oftentimes when we have a worship session before I begin to teach, I can really spot those that are disengaged or had a bad day. It's very obvious because of body language. So usually it looks like someone's like this, or they're like this, always fists closed and always a closed stance. And so something I do maybe after that worship time and I start speaking, I ask everyone to stand up and stand like this for a couple minutes, which is not necessarily the power pose. For me, this is the vulnerability and engagement pose. For example, if you are having a conversation with someone and you're trying to share and pour out your heart and you're open stance, like you're kind of like, and then the person in front of you is like this, it's pretty clear they're not open to actually engaging and receiving from you, right? And that is exactly how it works with God. It is so clear when we are standing there like this, or we're standing like this, or closed, or even we're sitting down with we're just like not engaged physically. That often is linked to how our spirits can and will engage in our experience. But so something I will tell them is, if you want to actually engage with God, like, try opening up your body posture for a few minutes. Or I do this other terrifying exercise where we actually all stand across from each other. You have a partner and you just have eye contact for about 4 minutes. Now, usually eye contact for even 20 seconds is hard for people. So imagine trying to do it for 4 minutes. I usually say you have to have your hands open, because the tempting thing to do is to sit on your hands, to hide your hands, like a little bit awkward, you know. But I'm like, hey, hold your hands open while you're sitting there like this, and open your eyes and look and engage. And it's shocking how many times in a 4 minute period, what people can see and learn about someone without any words, because their blockages and their walls are gone and they're just engaged. And that is such a picture of us with the Lord. When we are locked down and we are trying to engage, there is walls there. There's something blocking our experience and our hearing from him and the presence of really engaging. And when we open ourselves up and we take that time to really look and engage and be there openly, vulnerably with your body, which may sound silly, but it actually creates that gateway, that pathway, that entrance in to communion and to intimacy within the Holy of Holies. This is another beautiful quote. It's a quote from C.S. Lewis. He speaks much more eloquently than I do, but he says, most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, because we can praise other people, right? Praise is not only to God. Even God can praise us. I thought of it in terms of complimenting, approvals, or the giving of honor. But I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. So I think it's so beautifully said that this praise and worship time that we step into and that we open ourselves up to and physically posture ourselves to, the praise flows as we start. You know, how many have you heard, like, when you say things that you're thankful for, you start to be thankful, even if you're like not in the moment? Like, there's the thankful journals, and every day say 10 things you're thankful for. You're actually likely, research-wise, shows that you're going to have a better day, because you're positioning your heart and your body into a posture of praise and thanksgiving. And that's the same with worship. Just, it says in the Bible, enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. And praise and thanksgiving are so key to us having a fully engaged and experiential time with the Lord. And the praise flows when we command our bodies, bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord, awake my soul, rise up my soul. We command ourselves to get into this presence. We don't just do it passively. It's an active engagement with the Lord, even if you don't feel like it. On a Sunday morning, you come in, the first song is peppy, and you don't feel peppy. That's okay. Make your body be peppy. It's going to be weird and you're going to feel awkward, but it will actually secretly, magically, it will engage something within you, the core of who you are, that's going to wake itself up. Your body can wake your soul and your spirit up. And so it's a key that we can use, and it doesn't have to look like crazy dancing. However, that is a command in the Bible. It can just be a simple opening up your posture at the beginning. It can be a simple half-mast, like they talked about. It can be a simple opening your legs up to, like, it sounds weird, but it actually opens your body into a posture that allows you to engage fully with your whole being. And you know how the Psalms also say, this one, the third one, those ones are good too, but with my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow and wonder and love before you, the Holy God. Psalm 103:1. We don't just engage with our song. We don't just engage with our spirit without having engaged our body first. The body is the entrance. And that is so important to our worship experience. Not just a Sunday morning, like I said, and any time you have with the Lord, I always try to start with open hands. And we see that and we know that, but to know the why is so powerful. The why is because it opens up your spirit in the same way. It's such a prophetic statement. Honestly, if you're going to walk around with your relationships in this life, it's actually a very helpful tool as well in relationships to open your body in relationship. That's something like people always say to me, you're so open, you're so blah, blah, blah. But it's not because of what I share. I just generally am an open-bodied person. Like my posture, I don't know why. It's just easy for me to be like this. But not everyone does have an easy time. But you can have an easy time the more you practice. And it's just simply maybe awkward in front of a mirror at first, or just sitting in your car with your hand open on your lap, just one hand. It actually changes things. And if I'm holding the steering wheel and I'm angry, and then I like, Hannah, and then I put my hand down on my lap like this open, it changes the car. Like it changes myself. It changes the car. It changes everything. Like it's so weird. Just a simple act of opening your hand, your fist. It's crazy. Try it. You might already be like, I'm an expert at this. This is so easy. But for those that it's harder, practice it, try it. And I promise you, you will have a deeper and more intimate experience with the Lord and people and nature, whatever, anything. Like open your body, open your spirit by opening your body. Yeah, worship and praise are designed to engage the whole person. Thoughts, emotions, and actions shape one another. It's all interconnected. Our emotions don't just shape our body. Our body can shape our emotions and our spirit. It's a powerful thing that the Lord created, this powerful entity, a being that is all these facets into one that work together, intertwined. And it's just so beautiful. Our outward actions can impact our inward spirit. Praise is entrance, worship is communion. If there's nothing else you remember today, remember that praise is entrance, worship is communion. Our body is entrance and our spirit is communion. And they're so interconnected and intertwined. And we need to utilize those in our times with the Lord. Okay, so I talked a little about here's the visual. So we've got the body and the outer court are linked. They're the outer entrance. This is the tabernacle. Maybe you haven't known much about the tabernacle, but it was a place that was built by the Lord in the Old Testament. And then actually it's when Jesus died and the veil was torn, it became accessible to us. The Holy of Holies was not an accessible place back in the Old Testament. Outer court was where you came in and you praised and you got, you know, your things together. And then you started to go down the path of repentance and the altar, the sacrifice, getting yourself prepared and ready. The holy place, you went in and then you had that. Yeah, the showbread. There was a few other things in there that you went into a deeper place with your soul. And then the Holy of Holies is this intimate spirit-to-spirit connection. And you can't really get to the Holy of Holies without the preparation. This is such a key in worship leading, even myself as a worship lead. If I don't have the preparation in place, where we do the body, the praise, the thanksgiving, then it's very hard to break in and break through into that deeper level, the Holy of Holies, the intimate moment. And as a worship leader, and as even just a person going through life and worshiping the Lord, to remember those key elements that we can actually enter in and go deeper and deeper and deeper. But there is a process. There's a map or a journey that the Lord created that we can follow. And it allows us to enter in so much deeper into this experience with the Lord, where we have this order of our body, soul, spirit, the outer court, thanksgiving and praise, the inner court of repentance and acknowledgement of who you are. And then the Holy of Holies, where you recognize who he is and you're so lost in it. And the rest of you is like, it's gone. Like, you know, but you have to go through that pathway. And it's just so interconnected as well. It can look like it all happening at the same time. Like, it doesn't have to be like this, but there is this journey that the Lord wants to take us on. And if we're aware of it, it really allows and enables us to do it so much quicker and also deeper. And it's so great. And yeah, so you can look into that more yourself, the tabernacle and how it is like connected. So what can stop us from doing this? We had talked a little bit about that, maybe our posture. But why do sometimes we have a hard time entering into worship? Why do we have a hard time actually utilizing our body in worship? There are many reasons. And some of you don't have a problem with this. I'm not saying we all have our moments, right? Where it's hard to get past that dark cloud that we've been under for a few days. But something that I've seen in my travels, in churches and ministries and small house churches or whatever, in the Christian world, Christian, the kingdom of God. Interestingly, there's like a very deep theological thing that we believe, but don't really know we believe, or we've heard, and we kind of, one of this is called, the main one I'm thinking of, one of the blockers of this is the incorrect view of the body. So this actually comes from, there's Gnosticism, if you've heard of that. It's an old belief system. And they actually believe that God only cares about the spirit and that the spirit is good, but the body is evil. Now, we wouldn't come to a church service today at West Ottawa and be like, the body is evil. God only cares about my spirit. Yeah. But deep down, there may be a little thought in there that agrees with this. Because in the past, maybe your past denomination or past, you heard along the lines somewhere, maybe not this direct, but something like that, where dancing is a bit shameful, or the spirit is higher than the body. The spirit is more beautiful and more of a, that's the higher goal. But actually, it's not that way. Mind, body, spirit is all one, as he is one, like we're connected. And to look at it as a hierarchy and value the spirit more can actually hinder our spirit, because our body kind of loses out and then our spirit loses out by default. So it can actually work against us to have these very deep thoughts that maybe we don't even realize we think or believe. But if there is any part of you that has kind of had that thought line that the spirit is the higher goal and the body doesn't really matter as much, it actually can hinder your worship, and it can create a wall that you didn't even know was there. This has affected us, church history, and has led to the common thought that the use of the body in worship is not important and can even be dangerous. How many have heard that or maybe felt that in the past? Like, I just want to kind of see, maybe a nobody. Okay, a few people. Yeah. Okay, so I'm speaking to somebody. Okay. Even though I grew up here at West Ottawa, I still heard that through outside sources. And there was always a bit of a fear, like, oh, dancing is a little bit shameful, even though we were a dancing church, like, totally not like West Ottawa's fault, but other influences. I've felt there is actually, the body can be a hindrance to worship, whereas actually the other way around, it's a blessing to worship, and it's actually an integral part of worship. And Jesus felt that way too. There is verses. Where are they? Ah, okay. So obviously in John 1:14, it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he became flesh. He became a body. He didn't just float around. I mean, the Holy Spirit is a spirit, but he didn't just become only as a spirit, right? He also became a body and flesh. And so he didn't disparage or despise the human flesh. The Son of God actually took it upon himself because it was essential to do so in order to redeem us, because we are not just spirit and soul. We are body, soul, and spirit. And this redemption does not lead to some ethereal spiritual existence out there. What do we actually get? We get a new body. What? So obviously Jesus did not despise the body. He didn't think it's less important than the spirit. Otherwise we would be only spirit. But no, it actually says that there's a bodily resurrection of not only us, but who else? Jesus. He came back as a body, right? He came back and was touchable. Like, this is like, I'm probably, you know, digging the hole really deep, but I just really want to redeem that view that maybe some of us have had that actually stops and hinders us from engaging in the presence of God, because we kind of leave the body behind. And then in that case, your spirit can only go so far because it's attached to your body. Ah, fancy that. So if your body is behind and your spirit is trying to go forward, but your body is kind of like, then your spirit's like probably stuck over here. Like, it's not going to go farther. Anyways. So yeah. So in John and 1 Corinthians 15, it really talks about that bodily resurrection. Yeah. And we know that, but again, like there's just a deep, deep thought that you don't even think about. It's so deep in there that you might not even realize that you think this, but I encourage you to maybe go home, take a minute and think about how you feel about your body in worship and physical expression in worship. You might be surprised by what little things are in there that you didn't even know. Yeah. As I said, I grew up in a very charismatic church, even more so before. It was very, very charismatic. I still had that little thought. So even the best of us, not that I'm the best, but we can be infected by this. Another wall can be fear of man. Well, or woman and woman. Fear of people. I don't know why I put man, but. So there's a little quote by C.S. Lewis. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise unless shyness or the fear of boring or whatever, scaring others, is deliberately brought in to check it. So think of the classic sports game. You're going in and you're like, I'm cheering for the Ottawa Senators in this against the Toronto Maple Leafs match. There is nothing inhibiting you from doing all the cheering that you can do because you want to show your fellow man who you believe in and who you want to support, right? Yeah. No. Oh. But yeah, you want to show these guys next to you, I'm for Ottawa. Like, you suck. No, no, don't say that. And so like, there's this very clear overflowing and you're enjoying the game and you're overflowing naturally, spontaneously into praise. And it's very obvious. It's not a secret praise. It's like, praise is not secret. Praise is not quiet. Praise is boisterous. It's loud. It's impactful to those around you. It, you know, it, yeah, it's like, it's not passive. It's very active and can be aggressive, but we don't have to be aggressive. I'm just saying, like, if you're praising other things that you love, what are other things that you guys love and you get really into and engaged in? Cooking shows. Who loves cooking shows? Hey, you want to go for the best chef, right? Oh, Don can attest to car racing, I bet. Woo, that probably really gets him going. So we have all these there's nothing inhibited when we think of those things. But when it comes to a worship service, what's stopping us from being so engaged? What's stopping us from losing our in the service? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. That's the reason. But why do we not care about those beside us at a hockey game, but we care about those beside us who are supposed to be our brothers and sisters in Christ? What is going on? Even myself, I've been scared of what people would think of me if I just started dancing around and whatever, which is silly because like I've been doing this a long time and I'm like, I always dance. But there's still thoughts that I'm like, it's just, what if someone's like, wow, you're really interrupting the service. Be quiet. Or, oh, just a bit too out there for me. Like, but we have these like fears. And even though people may genuinely think those, why do we care? Also, why are you judging your neighbor about how they worship? Why are we judging that? It's not really our responsibility. Isn't it the Holy Spirit's? However, there is order, and that's up to the leader of the moment. You know, there is order. I'm not saying just everyone loosey-goosey run around, and I am saying that there is a level that we're missing and that we're not getting to because of these different stoppers and things. What could be another blockage or wall between us engaging fully into our bodily expression? So we've got fear of man, fear of others, and then we have this past thought that the body is not really that important or it could be dangerous to worship. What's another one? What stops you from being there? Well, not liking people. Interesting. Yes, that actually is very, that's like, we're all different. And so sometimes the differences of others can really rub us the wrong way. That is true. Very vulnerable. Thank you for sharing. I think another one is laziness, maybe. I mean, I can speak for myself with 3 hours of sleep. That can be a big stopper. I'm just too tired to worship the God of the universe right now. Anyone else thought that one? Yeah. Pain, physical pain. Yes. Woo, that is a huge one. Wow. Well, I believe that even in a body that is completely stuck, that God doesn't mind that. You know, like there's these things that like I'm saying to move, but there's grace. And one time I was speaking this message with a bunch of young adults who are very fiery, scary, like Generation Z and millennials. They came at me. You're saying if I don't raise my hands in worship, I'm going to go to hell? Are you saying that God has commanded me to do something that even if I don't want to do, he's not going to love me anymore? Are you saying this? Are you saying that? And I think they completely missed the point that I'm not saying that if you're physically unable to raise your hand in worship or maybe you're shy, that you're not going to be saved. No, no, no. Forget anything like that. There is grace and there is understanding from the Holy Spirit. But we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is a command to use your body in worship. And even if it's moving your lips and you can't actually speak because you're mute, God will honor that. You know, even if you can't walk, but you can do the chicken dance with your elbow, you know, God will honor that. There are so many things that you can do, even if it's moving a finger, like, I mean, God will honor all these things. And it doesn't mean like if you can't dance physically, because yeah, it's there, but pain can stop you because it can make you feel down. It can make you feel trapped. It can make you feel exhausted. It can make you feel all these things, but feelings are not our leader. And in even a moment, there's been moments where physically I like felt like I couldn't sing. Like I actually couldn't physically, like I had a frog in my throat or whatever. And I was leading that morning. This has happened so many times over whatever, how many years. And I come up to this piano and I'm like, oh, I don't think anyone's going to hear me. Plus I'm really tired because I'm actually sick. And I get to the piano and something comes over me when I open my mouth, because I opened it and I obeyed the Lord and I opened my mouth and something came out miraculously. Like, I'm not even joking. Like my voice for a worship set for 20 minutes was there and I stopped and I lost my voice again. Like this has happened miraculously. Other times, like people that I know in YOM or whatever, they like had fibromyalgia and they actually physically couldn't worship the Lord with their bodies, but they stood up and put a foot out and started tapping your foot and they were healed of fibromyalgia. Like crazy stuff. Or in that moment, they had the grace. You know, this is really, really personal, but period pains could be sometimes that real something really stopped me because I was in so much pain I couldn't walk. And I suddenly was like, whatever. Ah, the lion and the lamb. And then it was just go. It would just leave. It would be gone. And so when we put our body in front and we say, I'm going to open that door. I'm going to unlock those locks or whatever. And however it looks for you, it could look different. It could look however it is. It may not be dancing wildly. It could be bowing. It could be tapping a foot. It could be wiggling your eyebrows. It could be anything. And God is going to honor that start. Like he's going to turn on the car, you know, when you put the key in, like he's going to do it and he's going to honor it. And even if he doesn't, what does Meshach, whatever those guys, Abednego, even if he doesn't save me, I will still praise him and I will still declare that he is God. And yeah, we stop ourselves from so much experience and so much intimacy and so much communion because we allow our emotions and our failings and our fears and our actual physical ailments to stop us from engaging fully as body, mind, spirit with the presence of the living God. And I do this. I'm preaching to myself. Like I am not up here saying I've got this all and I am like the best worshiper. No, all the time. I'm like, it's so hard to worship. Like it's so hard. I feel so, but that doesn't matter. Like so many times if you open your sails, the wind can take you. If you have your sails closed, you're not going to go anywhere on that ocean, are you? To go somewhere where you want to go, you have to open the sails. We have to open the sails of our experience and our worship with the Lord. And I am realizing it's 12:15. Classic commands from the Bible to do active things. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord. Not sit. I mean, sitting is good too, but standing can be just a simple act. Like, I mean, how often, I know I'm tired and I just sit through worship and I do not engage. I might think I do, but I don't. But if I stand, even if you're not able to physically stand, there's ways you can stand in your spirit. There's ways, just lifting a hand. Like there's ways that you can stand without physically standing. I'm not just saying like limit it to that, but do something different than just nothing, you know? Don't do nothing. Do something. Do something. Whatever it is, how small or big it is, do something. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. And it doesn't have to be physical. That could be if you can't kneel, you can kneel in your spirit, in your heart, and you can do something like saying, I'm kneeling before you, Lord. Saying is an active thing. It's not passive. You can say that. I'm going to kneel before you, even if you physically can't kneel, like giving lots of grace around here because it can be a really touchy subject. But I trust that you guys are going to hear what the Lord is saying and not just myself. Maybe to close there, I mean, I've got like thousands more of slides, but maybe I could do a part two or part 60. If you ever heard of the Hebrew words for praise, there's seven of them. We often in English, we see like praise the Lord, but actually there's seven different meanings behind those praises and they're all physical. Praise the Lord is not just sitting there. Literally, this can happen in worship, even myself, where I'm really tired and I just stand there. But praising, it doesn't look like, I mean, it can look like that. Okay. What I'm trying to say is there's more, there's depth, there's places you can go that will engage and set free your spirit. When you set free your body and the Holy Spirit sets you free from those things, we can't sometimes just get over those fears. Sometimes it's not like I can just come to church and be, I'm not afraid of everybody, even though I am. I mean, sometimes that can work, but you need the Holy Spirit to set you free from those blockages and those walls. And that can take prayer ministry. That can take just repentance of believing lies the enemy has spoken over you. Like, you're not a good dancer. Like, I had that when I was in high school. I was like, I'm a terrible dancer. I should not be dancing. All these other ballerinas are way better than me. But the Lord and the Holy Spirit had to break me from that lie so that I could dance, because I was so insecure. And that's just dance. But even like singing behind a mic, you may be like, I am the worst singer in the universe. But it doesn't matter. It does help when someone sounds good, but it doesn't matter, honestly. I've had better worship leaders in the back of a room than people at the front, because they're engaged. They may sound horrible, but they're engaged and they're leading the people of God from the back into the presence of the Lord, right? Yes. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your abilities, guys. It doesn't. And you may know this, and yes, we want to call us higher as a body, that when we worship, we're all in, and it can look differently for everyone, but you will feel it spiritually if a whole congregation is in, and you'll feel it spiritually if they're not. Even if it's half and half, or two are in and 20 aren't, or if 18 are in and two aren't, you feel it. And I want to encourage you not to be one of those two that aren't engaged, and the 18 are like, come on, man, like, get with the program. Like, we can't go anywhere without you. Because that's true corporately. That's true. Like, corporately, you can hold back your fellow brothers and sisters from going deeper if you're not engaged in going deeper. Because that's how the body works too, right? Yeah. And evangelism. Yeah, that's really true. A bit more about that. Yes. Yes. Approaching people with the gospel. Yeah, you need to be in and engaged, right? Not, if you're not wanting to be there, it can be really obvious to the person that you're speaking to. But if you're like open when you're doing evangelism with your body, people want to talk to you. Surprisingly, they do. But if you're kind of like, here's a tract. Yeah, you're not going to get much there. But that's okay. You know, God will give that grace on that too. You know, he's bigger than our weaknesses. Praise him. But if you're in it and you're like, hey, like with your body being open and your face and your eyes open, it's so different. Like when you're having face-to-face conversations one-to-one, it is very clear if the other person is not into you or not engaged or not listening or doesn't really care or forgets what you said the second you said it. It's so clear because your body language is there, you know? But if we put our body language there and correctly in front of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, he's going to honor that and he's going to bring us in, you know? He's like, hey, I see that you want to come here. And I see that even if you don't want to, you want to. And I will honor you in that. And be active, not passive. And it will really open doors that you didn't even know were possible on a Sunday morning worship service with a body of believers that are engaged and into the Lord and into his presence. And it's just beautiful and it's powerful and it's unstoppable, really. And maybe we're stoppable right now because we're not fully in and fully engaged and fully utilizing all the parts of us that God created and wants to put together, whether that's myself, body, soul, spirit, or the body's body, soul, spirit. There is so much power in unity, so much power in not just unity with each other, but unity within yourself and unity with the Holy Spirit. And he is unified, and we can take that grace that he has of unification, and he will impart that to us and help us be unified within ourselves and within the body. And we have to ask him and we have to be active and pursue this. That's what I want to say. Actually, surprise, surprise, I have a song because I want you guys to be able to be in it too, because sometimes it can be distracting when we're leading, right? I know for myself anyway. So I'm like focusing on the piano and then I forget to sing. But so there is a song at the end. It's 7 minutes long and it's one line throughout the whole song. And that may sound horribly repetitive and terrible to some people, but it allows your mind to not be like, it can really, you can focus on your body rather than like trying to like listen to all the words and figure out the words if you don't know a song. It's just scripture. It's praise the Lord, all my soul, with all my being, praise his holy name. And so we're going to play it, not too loud to hurt our ears, but loud enough that our body feels it a little bit, a little challenge. That's not any video. Feel free to stand. And I'm not going to judge you if you literally just stand there. I don't want it to be that focus of what it looks like. I want your heart to be like, what's something I haven't done before that I can do right now to engage my body? Like you personally, I don't want to say everyone needs to raise their hands this moment. I don't want to say everyone needs to dance like David danced this moment. But what is something in your heart that you know has been blocked before, whether it is raising your hand, whether it is tapping your foot, if there's something, whether fear, whether pain, whether theology, whatever, whatever is blocking your entrance, just do one thing that challenges that inside of you personally. Don't judge your neighbor. Don't even care about what your neighbor's doing. Could look totally different for everyone. And it could be the last 3 seconds of the song that you get the courage to do it. That's okay. It's a win for you. It's a win for the body. It's a win. And the Holy Spirit is going to honor you. He's going to honor us for pushing those boundaries that we've been held back by those walls, those fences that have completely trapped us from experiencing the wholeness and the wellness and the beauty and the incredible insanity of Jesus and who he is. And I just want to challenge you, whatever that looks like for you in this moment, do one thing that steps out in the opposite spirit of what you've been held under. And Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that Lord, whatever that looks like, whether it's standing for the first time, whether it's kneeling for the first time, whether it's singing out loud for the first time and not being ashamed of what my voice sounds like, whether it's crying for the first time or whatever, because you've been afraid to show emotion. I just pray in Jesus' name, you would set us free, Lord. And it could take years, it could take moments, but we want to trust you and open our bodies. That's actually something I want you to do. I want you to open your body, have an open stance, open your hands, open your heart, open your feet, open stance, open your hands. That's the biggest one. Open your hands to receive the presence of the Lord.
I want to kind of let this be the benediction, okay, this morning or this afternoon in our time together. Thanks, Hannah, for this beautiful word. Yes. Use your hands and you can clap. And most of you will be familiar with this scripture, but just I want it to wash over us and even be kind of a stake in the ground, you know, in this moment. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of slave girls and servants as a vulgar fellow would. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. Now, beautiful. It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by those slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And there's way more to come. We will be even more undignified than this. But even if it begins by taking our grip off the steering wheel and opening our hands tomorrow morning on our way to work, God is going to do an amazing thing. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for Hannah, Lord. Thank you for this word, Lord, the word of the Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this house. Lord, as Hannah was speaking, I was thinking of Israel and different ones that you brought to us, Lord, and how they have spoken, Lord, of things that are being taken off of the ceiling and off of the things that hinder and keep us back. And Lord, you are releasing us, and we receive it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.